Welcome to the Responsible Management Podcast from the University of Bradford School of Management. My name is David Spicer. I'm the School's Director of Business and Community Engagement and delighted again to be hosting the podcast. Today's topic is about making information accessible, and I've got two great contributors to join me to talk about that. Joanna Ingham is the Chief Officer at BTM. BTM stands for Bradford Talking Media, and they're a non-profit who focus on the provision of accessible information, particularly to support those who find ordinary print difficult to read. To support this and increase the accessibility of information, they recruit and support a range of work groups who create information that they and their peers can understand and use, and they have teams of people with learning difficulties, mental health service users, deaf people and people with visual impairment. Our other contributor is Dr. Boaki Boampong. Boaki is lecturer in international business and program leader for the BSc International Business and Management Program here at Bradford. His research interests including the effects of project risk management on project success, international business expansion and adaptiveness, strategic human resource management, and stakeholder influence on project risk management and sustainable development. Delighted to be talking to you both.
Sounds dope.
Thank you.
So our first question, obviously the theme of the podcast is around responsible management. So what does responsible management mean for you?
It's about having the skills and knowledge to embrace and respond to the challenges that are facing the world now and into the future. But in my role particularly, it's about seeing the unique abilities of our team, but more importantly, our work group members of people with lived experience, and about being equitable, so giving people the tools and information they need in whatever way they need it, so they can be active citizens and lead a happy, healthy and fulfilling life.
Yeah, I guess BTM's business model, mission is one of responsible management in essence, isn't it? What you're doing is about availability, about enabling organisations to work with as broad a scope of people as possible.
Yes, definitely. And giving people, information is so important to enable people to make choices. Without information, you can't. How can you make a choice? How can you give consent? How can you lead a happy and fulfilling life if you don't have information in a way you can understand?
Brilliant. Boaki, would you recognise that definition?
Right, yes. Yeah. So I think Joe's definition of responsible management actually relates to what we have been, over the years, trying to research into and to ensure that management is not just about providing information, task-based perspective of trying to execute a task, for example, but to ensure that we are able to rebalance society effectively through effective management. So I actually do we'll go with Joe's definition as well, but to me personally, I think it's also to do with our ability to rebalance society effectively through effective management. And that is partly to do with what I'm pretty sure that Joe and her colleagues are actively.
That's brilliant. Thank you both. And coming back to the vision, the mission, the role of the organisation, I kind of focus today on providing accessible information. Can you say a little bit more about what that entails and why that's important for business?
Okay. Again, I think it's important because people need to have access to information. So while some organisations, statutory organisations, are covered by legislation such as the Care Act, the Mental Capacity Act and the Accessible Information Standard, where statutory organisations that provide health and social care, publicly funded health and social care, they have a legal obligation to provide accessible information. But we believe it goes further than that. So it goes down to things like voting. If you get a parking ticket, if you need a solicitor, any sort of business, really.
If you're not providing information in different ways, you're closing off potential routes to market, I guess.
Yeah, you're shutting out, aren't you, a big section of the population. But also, you're not reaching all the people you could reach if you're not advertising and promoting yourself in an accessible way.
Yeah, and presumably that feeds through to kind of employment as well. I guess there's an inclusion and diversity aspect to this. So, somebody interested in HR, Boaki, I'm sure you recognise that.
Yeah, I do, Dave. Yeah, thanks for passing it over. If we are able to rebalance society through effective management, then we should be able to provide information that's accessible. So information is not just passing information. It's not just the ability to send something to an audience, but it's also to do with whether the information that's been sent has been understood by the people that it was meant for. So for businesses, for example, and I'm pretty sure Joe's business has much to do with some of these things, if information is misunderstood, then it could be very costly for the business. The person is not able to assess it, or who the information is meant for cannot assess the information, then the management of the information have not been affected responsibly. And I think if we are to embody responsibility into management.
And you're right as well, it's not just about sending the information that you think people can understand out there. You've got to make sure that the people understand it, which is why co-production is so important and why we work with our work groups of people with lived experience, because we can all sit here and think, I can make that easier to understand. But actually, if you haven't got that lived experience, you know, what do we know? I've worked with people with learning disabilities for 25 years. I'm still not an expert. You know, I still go out to my group. I think I can write something in easy read, and I'll go out to my group and they'll make it a lot easier to understand because they are the people accessing it. So it is as well about not just putting it out there, make sure it's really tested.
It's about the quality of communication.
It's about the quality, yeah.
Yeah, it's about having not just that you're putting a message out there, but being confident that that's going to reach the right recipient. Yeah. And then that recipient is going to be able to understand that and act upon it. And that's incredibly important in this day and age. I mean, it's probably a really trite example, and I'm sorry it's the one that's popped into my head, but terms and conditions.
Yeah.
How many times do we click on terms and conditions when we've not read them? And that's those of us that have not got any challenges in accessing information. So how much harder does that get kind of outside that?
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I'm always clicking on stuff. We had a really good quote from one of our work group members a few weeks ago as well, when we were doing something, and she said, how can I give consent to something that I don't understand? So she understood what giving consent was, but she didn't understand what she was consenting to. And I thought that was actually quite powerful. But yeah, terms and conditions, there's all sorts of stuff that we just skim through, aren't there? Have you agreed to this?
I guess there's almost a wider point there for business about, are we actually enabling people to engage with us in the way we provide information? Is our communication effective? You know, terms and conditions is an arch example of that. They want to nail down the requirements and the obligations and the liability, but that's probably the expense of effective communication.
So effective communication in itself is a strategic choice that businesses need to make, because diversity management in itself also leads to your ability as a business to achieve your wider objectives. So if you are not sending the information in a more accessible way for the people to understand, then it has a huge way of negatively impacting on your ability to achieve your wider objectives as a business, because diversity management has been proven to be quite effective in ensuring businesses achieve their wider goals.
We get as well that sometimes, say, for example, terms and conditions or anything legally, the big legal words have to be there to cover people, you know, for example, maybe an insurance. So what we always do, we'll do an easy read summary or a British Sign Language summary, and we'll always direct people back to the original. So you can keep those big words in there. And the other thing we do as well is we keep the big words in there, but then explain what they mean. So first example I can think is a health related. We did some information years ago about maternity services in Leeds. And one of the things we put was about, you'd see an obstetrician. And then we put, this is a doctor that you will see when you are pregnant. And the client came back to us and says, this is easy read. Well, people with learning disabilities know what an obstetrician is. Why have you even put that in there? But our argument is, if you're pregnant, you are going to see an obstetrician and you will need to recognise that word. So while the big words can stay, it's just about supporting people to understand.
It is therefore much about, I'm trying not to use the word education, but that's the one that's popped into my head.
It's about educating people to cope with and
understand the environment in which they're operating, so that if you're in that situation, yes, when you walk in, that's the term that people are going to use.
That's what you're going to see on the door. You're going to see on the sign, aren't you, when you walk into Airedale BRI, you're going to see oncology or other big medical words. So it's about developing people and their learning to understand. Our work groups, particularly our Friday work group, have been coming to BTM for years and years. So they have quite a familiarity of language now, because they have got to learn those big words like assessment. People with learning disabilities are being assessed constantly. You know, their lives are full of assessments, so they do learn those words. And yeah, it is about developing. And also, it's not about dumbing stuff down. It's not about treating people like children. It's just about making things a bit simpler. I mean, things could be simpler for all of us, really. Is there an argument that there should only be one version that everybody can understand? A lady who worked in the local VCSC, she once said that you should aim your information so the average person stood behind you in Greggs can understand what you're talking about, or any other fast food outlet. And I thought that was really good, because a lot of us don't necessarily need easy read, but information is pitched so high sometimes. The council, the government, it's so confusing.
And it's context as well, isn't it? If you're familiar with the context, you understand the language, you understand the situation. Yeah. If you're unfamiliar, it's difficult. I was in a dragon's den for some of our life sciences students where they were pitching business ideas where they had to come up with a medical device. I was there from the business perspective. I know nothing about the kind of the technical stuff. And two or three times I had to say to the team, just explain it to me like I'm stupid, because I don't understand the terminology that you're using. I've been sat here for 10 minutes and I still don't know what it does. I know you put it on your head and it does something that might help with this condition, but between those two sort of boxes, I'm completely in the dark. So can you unpick it for me? It's that sort of understanding.
It is
understanding.
Unpicking, yeah, and the meaning. And often you read things, you know, we do a lot of big strategies and 10-year plans and this and that, and actually, when you read them, a lot of the time they don't actually say anything. They're full of big words, but it doesn't say anything. And I think the other thing, especially these days with AI and people using things like ChatGPT, I think AI has a place and I think it will be really helpful and really good. But I think sometimes now people are putting everything through AI and these words come up that none of us have ever heard of.
Joe did make mention of development, and I think it's very key, particularly when you are dealing with people from diverse backgrounds, because more so often we assume that people understand things without actually making the effort to find out whether they've really understood what the intended information was. So responsible managers actually need to have that mindset that if we are to be able to achieve our wider strategic objectives as a business responsibly, then we also need to develop our team along with us. So, and having that diverse approach to things has a huge role to play in our ability to ensure that things are done in a more effective and strategic manner. So,
I mean, I was about to say, come back to, I know we've sort of talked around it, about the business case and why do organisations and businesses need to focus on it? But I think you're starting to make that, you know, that's an audience that you're missing. Those are communities that you're not engaging with some presumably quite simple but thoughtful changes to the way we present information, and that we can access a much, I'll use the word again, diverse group of stakeholders.
When you think about how we all access information as well, hearing the news on the radio, on your way to work, glimpsing a headline. But if you have a disability, if you're deaf or you're hard of hearing, particularly a deaf person, you know, they do miss out on so much as well. The deaf community particularly are really excluded when you think about if you go to a meeting, that there'll often be a BSL interpreter if you're deaf. But when you think about all that chat you have, you know, when we came in just then, we walked across, we had a chat, isn't the weather nice? If you're deaf and your interpreter's not there, you miss out on all that.
For businesses, that can be very, very costly. If there are customers, for example, potential customers that you are missing, and if they're part of your team too, these are part of the team that you are not developing effectively, and that will, in a way, will affect your ability to achieve your wider goals as intended. So being able to provide accessible information should be very key if diversity management is strategic. And that's one thing that businesses need to be focusing on. Because as I said earlier, misinformation can be very expensive for businesses.
Yeah, it can be very expensive and can be very, very dangerous as well.
And if there are some legal and moral obligations as well, because responsible management has, there are some ethical elements of responsible management too. So as a responsible manager, you have that moral responsibility to ensure that diverse team that you have able to assess the information that's been provided.
Yeah.
That in itself has a huge role to play in your ability to reach a wider audience, ability to achieve your goals and objectives in the end. And if that's not perceived strategically, then in a way you are shortchanging yourself as a business.
Yes.
And then in the long run to your potential customers and team as well. So.
Yeah, and I guess that then is the imperative for kind of business. It's what are the kind of steps then that we can take to make information more accessible? Obviously, I'm engaging with people like yourselves, Joe, but there must be things that on a day-to-day basis that a business leader or an individual or an organisation could be doing to help with this.
Yeah, I think going back to keep it simple, keep things simple from the start. Try and speak to groups of people. You know, as I say, BTM are available. There are other organisations, but you don't always have to go to another organisation. There are things you can do for yourself. Talking about AI and how dangerous it can be, AI can help. So we've just done a big piece of work with the council around their latest budget, and the budget proposals were pages and pages long. So the person at the council, what she did, she fed that through AI to just strip it down a bit and make it a bit simpler. And then we worked on an easy read version. So maybe do, you know, use AI just to cut out all that stuff that doesn't really say anything or that's not public facing.
Part of that is knowing, I guess, key messages.
Yes.
And key audiences and reflecting the message back to the audience. So different audiences will need different bits of that message. I'm thinking about my practice and experience in managing change. You know, you have an overall message of the change. This is what we're trying to do. But then how that impacts upon different stakeholder groups, you have a different conversation.
Absolutely right, Dave. So as a business, first thing you need to do is to have a proper stakeholder mapping. So you need to know your team, for example. So you need to know the diverse teams of people that you are working with. That is the first step. Once you are aware of the different stakeholders and their needs, then you can start planning towards having a more personalized approach to this. So it should be something that is pursued strategically, not just done from a more haphazard nature. Because if that's done, then you are not taking into effect the different needs of the people that are in your team. And that will not allow you to be able to have a more managed approach to ensuring that you achieve this wider goal. So the university understands that people can and they want to and can make a difference. So we have a wider diversity where we strategically plan towards that. We as model leaders have students with different needs. We have different approaches to different students purposefully to enable us to achieve the wider goals that we seek to achieve.
I'm just cutting into the podcast to tell you a little bit about the offer that we have for businesses locally as part of the business and community engagement support. We have our Knowledge Transfer Network, that's regular networking events where you can come on campus, meet like-minded people, hear from some of our and leading industry experts. We have our Bradford Business Challenge projects, where we have students coming out and working with you and supporting the work that you do. We have our consultancy clinic, where we have students delivering on short-term small projects for businesses as well. There's also lots of ways that you can engage with and interact with our students as guest lecturers, as mentors on some of our entrepreneurship programs and through involvement in the curriculum. And equally, from a research perspective, we can work with you on collaborative research. If you think there's something we can help with, please reach out to us at BACE, that's base BACE, at bradford.ac.uk. Thank you, and now back to the podcast. So it all comes back to recognising the needs of the people in front of you or the audiences or potential stakeholders and responding accordingly. For this podcast, it's notionally, its primary audiences are Knowledge Transfer Network, which are small businesses, SMEs locally. Does the size of a firm influence this? Is this a thing that big firms tend to worry about and small firms not? Or is that a factor, I guess?
I think in many countries, the SMEs form about 90% of the entire workforce. So in some developing countries, for example, I'll use Ghana because that's where I was born. Many businesses in Ghana are SMEs. So the size of the firm shouldn't necessarily matter. It's about knowing your team. So you should have a wider focus of what are their diverse needs. So irrespective of the size of the firm that you have, different sizes might bring different challenges, but the size of the firm shouldn't necessarily impact on your ability to ensure that diversity management is purposefully pursued, because they have a huge role to play in your ability to achieve wider goals.
No, I agree with you. I think whilst I know being a small business, which we're a very small charity and a small social enterprise, I do understand that, you know, having capacity, having the time, money, cost, because often there is a cost involved. I know that's a challenge because we have personal experience of that. And sometimes when you're so busy, you've got so much stuff going on, stuff slips. But actually doing the right thing should never slip, should it? So I think just, yeah, and drawing on the strengths of your team, making sure you've got a diverse team. We have a very diverse team. We have a member of staff who's profoundly deaf. We have people who speak different languages. We have somebody with a visual impairment. We have somebody with autism who works with us. So, yeah, just drawing on their strengths as well and just talking to your team. But, yes, I always think doing the right thing shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be there at the beginning of everything you do, really.
Brilliant. And in terms of supporting that, where do we go to get advice, guidance on making information more accessible? BTM is an obvious place, isn't it, I guess?
Of course, we're going to advertise ourselves. BTM, you know, give us a call. We're always, you know, we're an ethical organisation. We've got our work groups who love having visitors. You know, feel free, drop in and see us. Come and see how it works. People love coming in, so we're based just outside the centre of Bradford. But also as well, yeah, there's lots of places, there's lots of local groups, there's the VCSE in Bradford in particular, is just amazing. There's loads of places you can go, or, you know, do your research on the internet first, see what you can do yourself, look at advice for, again, going back to keeping things simple.
Brilliant. And as you said, Bwaki, this is part of our mission as a university as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so we are here at Bradford. We take diversity and inclusion very seriously, and it is embedded into our mission statement that we know that people want to make a difference and can make a difference. So it's better for us to have the wider approach, the things that we do over here to ensure that every single member of staff or student that walk through our door and even visitors are provided with the opportunity to make the difference that they so desperately need to be, that we so desperately need to beg to ensure that we are all on the same track to achieve a wider goal.
Yeah, and it's something, again, that we can help support businesses in doing. I mean, come back to, and we've mentioned it several times, but I don't think I've mentioned it for a couple of podcasts. So student projects, you know, there's opportunities to use the resource that we have at the university to support your goals as a business. It would be great to see, we've had some great projects in this area. I can think of a few over the years, but I'd love to see a lot more with, you know, business coming to us and say, well, actually, we want to be looking at aspects of diversity, inclusion, how we can bring out our message, our kind of offer, our value to a wider group of people. And we need help and support in doing that. Penultimate question, what's practical advice? What takeaways? What are the kind of the small wins would you give to organisations looking for developing better approaches in this regard?
I think don't be afraid to have a go yourself. And then also don't feel that you have to go out and do everything all at once and spend a lot of money on something you don't really need. So again, what's your key message? Who are your target audience? If your business is nothing to do with, you know, for example, you don't think you're ever going to work with the deaf community, don't go to the expense and time of producing a load of British Sign Language videos that you're never going to use. If you feel that you might just be working with one deaf person, it might be more cost effective to just book a BSL interpreter for that. So yeah, just don't be afraid to give it a go, but don't feel that you have to go mad. And again, going back to, I've said it about a million times, keep it simple from the start. Keep it simple.
What I will also add to what Joe's rightly said there is that diversity needs to be celebrated. And I always say this, that life will be boring if we all act and behave the same. So diversity needs to be celebrated because together we can achieve much together. So as a business, the key thing you need to do is to know your team, because that knowledge gives you that trump card to be able to make those incremental changes. And as Joe said as well, don't be scared to have a go. Okay, so where you are not sure, or that's why we are here as well. We have a strong team here that research on diversity and inclusion. Come to us. We will be able to provide the necessary step guidelines. And then make sure that in so doing, because there are some legal elements of this that you need to be aware of as well. So apart from the ethical aspects, the morality aspects that you need to be aware of, there are some legal aspects that you need to be aware of. So yes, diversity management does lead to successful businesses, but it needs to be strategically pursued.
I would agree absolutely with what you've both said. The one thing I would add add, which I think comes back to your practice, Joe, is that talk to the right people,
yeah,
the people that understand the difference. I go back to when I was not even a new lecturer, when I was doing my PhD, and I was doing lecturing part-time while I was doing my studies, and I was teaching on the MBA program, and there was a guy on the MBA who was blind, and actually talking with him about how did I get the ideas across as somebody who is quite visual and uses a lot of graphics and imagery. I use movie clips and all sorts of things and always have him teaching that how is that translatable and what do I need to do to help that person? He's the expert in the room. He can help me understand that perspective as well.
I think it's about as well knowing that not all blind people are the same, not all deaf. So not all blind people, for example, read Braille. You know, now we do a lot of audio recording. Not all deaf people know British Sign Language. Deaf people have to learn British Sign Language. They're not just born able to sign. Not everybody with a learning disability likes easy read. So I know you're not always going to get it 100% right, but if you talk to the right people and talk to a mix of people, get the right advice, will help you to make sure you reach as many people as possible.
Brilliant. Thank you. So final question. We've asked all of our contributors over the series this. Who would be your management hero? That could be personal or professional, somebody who's inspired or influenced you in your career.
I think for me, it would be my PhD supervisor, Dr. David Potts. That's my first PhD supervisor, actually. He inspired me to get onto this journey, and I really do appreciate managing my initial research career. So I really do appreciate that.
Can I have a couple?
Of course. Is that okay? That's fine.
So I think my first one is a job I had back in the 90s, and I had a manager called Malcolm. I worked for a big courier company, and he was an amazing manager, and he would do everything. He knew every aspect of the job. So I worked in a call center taking bookings. He could see if we were busy, and he would come round and sit down, put a headset on, and he'd take a booking. He knew a little bit about all his staff, but not too much to be overbearing. So he knew everybody's strengths and weaknesses. He knew what people's boyfriends were called if people had kids. But he just had that really good balance of not being too interfering, but just a really good guy. So I always try and think, as a manager, I always try and think back that I wouldn't ask any of the team to do something that I wasn't prepared to do. And I think he was very much like that. And my second one isn't real, but again, in the last couple of years, the Apple TV program, Ted Lasso. I don't know if anybody's watched it. I just think some of his quotes are great. And it's about getting the best versions of people and be a goldfish. So if I'm having a bad day, you know, just forgetting it and moving on. And yeah. My partner did also want me, because I was going through this with him, did also want me to mention Sir Alex Ferguson, because he's a big Man United supporter. That was going to be divisive. But, you know, a man who turned a failing club into a global entity. But not a football fan myself, but he said, you need to mention Fergie. So thank you. So that was actually three, sorry.
That's fine. That's brilliant. Thank you both very, very much indeed. It's been a really stimulating, interesting conversation. I'm sure our listeners will like it as well. If people want to contact you and reach out, what's the best way to do that, Joe?
We have a website, www.btm.org.uk, or you can drop me an email. It's joe.ingham@btm.org.uk, or give us a ring anytime. Always there to give advice. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and I'm here at Bradford, so IBM department's website, Bwachi Buampo. I'm there. I'm also on LinkedIn, so we're just at Bwachi Buampo. So, and if anyone is thinking about coming to study here at Bradford, whether undergraduate or postgraduate degree, and you have the idea but haven't thought about that yet, you can feel free to come and see us, or send me an email at b.1.2@bradford.ac.uk. So thanks for having us, Dave.
No, brilliant. Thank you very much, both. Yeah, so if you want to reach out generally about the podcast, we're at BACE, that's Business and Community Engagement, BACE@bradford.ac.uk. You can find me on the university website very easily, as Waki said. Simi, you can find out what we do in terms of business and community engagement. On social media, it's at Brad Management, B-R-A-D Management, or one word, or at Dave P. Spicer. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please like and subscribe. If you can leave us a 5-star review, that would be great as well. And thank you both very much for the conversation today.
Thank you.
you've got a project that you'd love to get done, but you're struggling with the time and resources to do that, that's something that we can help you with. Bradford Business Challenge projects are where we get our students to do, as part of their dissertation, a piece of applied management work for a business like yourself. Either one of our final year undergraduate or MSc students, with the support of an academic mentor, will be able to work on that project for you. There's no cost for you as a business. All we ask for you is to set up with us that project, give us a kind of outline brief that the student will go away and work into a full proposal for you, and then you'll be meeting and liaising with them and their academic advisor to get that project delivered. Because we have multiple students doing these over the course of the year, there's usually a group of students looking for any project at one time. So if that's something that you're interested in and you'd like to know more about, please reach out to us at BACE, base@bradford.ac.uk.